prayer and look.
Good. Thank you. Good morning. So I have about 10 minutes of legal submissions to present. Jerry and Mandy have not prepared a summary statement, but they do wish to update you on their ongoing discussions with QAC about how the parties can work together. And so I will leave them briefly to you tonight to start about how that's progressing. And Jeff, Michelle and Andy can do a short summary statements of their efforts to present to you. So,
do I detect from the legal testimony discussion that there's no longer an exchange of lawyers and evidence of security cases with the effort?
Correct. We have been doing that.
It's just hard to hear.
Sorry.
You can't hear very well, sorry. Sorry, so just the noise
here. Something else is completed.
Yeah. Jim was asking whether we stopped in the hot shop.
Well, there's a new management.
One of the things that they're going to carry out for the kitchen and then make the place so much easier for the moment. It's much good to hear.
So, what I think I'll do is I'll ramble through these quickly. There's no high legal principles involved in this case. It's really very much a factual inquiry. So, Jerry and Mandy operate Cripple Station, which is a deer farm, but they've been following a strategy of income diversification for some time. The northeastern end adjacent to State Highway has for many years been devoted to a range of activities, some of which are associated with the airport and passengers and traffic that is attracted to the airport. Jerry and Mandy's hammer shop business has been recently rebranded as Crossfire. That business is supported by visitor attractions that have established themselves at the airport campus, which is an established visitor destination despite the absence of scheduled commercial air services. The paddocks to the southeast of Habershop along the State Highway frontage are generally grazed, but are made available every year as public car parking for the Warbirds and the Wanakarin Show. The frontage to State Highway 6 is affected by the airport's control boundary, which limits the conversion of that land to military activities. The outer control boundary contour was established through Plan Change 26 and Designation 65. JDIL has always promoted the growth of Wanaka Airport to support the sustainability of tourism for Wanaka as a destination in its own right. Through the Plan Change designation process, JDIL pointed out to the Queenstown Lakes Council that the establishment of commercial activities at the airport could not be achieved through the designation process that was being pursued by the airport, but rather they required their own commercial mixed-use form and zoning as established in Queenstown, and for that matter, and most other commercial airports in New Zealand. To settle JDIL's appeal on those proceedings to the Environment Court, Wanaka Airport Management Committee agreed to pursue a resource study with a view of establishing a Wanaka Airport mixed-use zone, as had been suggested by JDIL, including whether JDIL state ought to be included within that zone. The appeals to the Environment Court were resolved on that basis. Ever since that time, JDIL has been agitating with QAC for participation in that process with zero cooperation in turn. JDIL has affirmed here that one agreed on management committee or their management contract with QAC has been behaving in breach of its certain obligations to JDIL. The importance of this is for the panel to understand the proposed Wanaka Airport mixed use zone proposed by QAC has not had the benefit of any input or consultation with JDIL whatsoever. Happily, in recent weeks, relations have improved considerably, and the process of cooperation has been agreed with QAC at senior management level. It is now understood that QAC support the use of JDIL's land for airport-related activities for a range of activities that do not require airside access to the aerodrome. JDIL is working with QAC to develop a specification of a range of activities in which there will be cooperation. QA says these are confirming their support in principle is attached to these submissions. It is now understood that QAC is not proposing to pursue a submission in opposition to JJL proposal. So I'll pause there just to remind you that QAC's submission, or their further submission on JJL submission, kept their power dry. They said that they would neither oppose nor support it, but reserve their position to change their mind going forward. Well, happily, we understand that that position is swinging from potential opposition to potential support.
And the good news is that they feel us about
it. We understand so that is the case, which is a good thing, but of course, that's all reserves and rights whether they're going to be heard or not. In any case, what I'm going to do is to get Jerry and Mandy to address you on where that has got to in terms of the range of activities which QAC is likely to support. The fundamental concern raised by Mr. Barr in his rebuttal evidence is the extent to which JDL's land can be considered as associated with the airport. Mr. Barr seems to be satisfied that the land QAC has bought is more proximate and sufficient for the airport's needs. Mr. Barr doubts that the airport related activities would establish on JDL's side of the road. It is submitted that these issues are not determinative of the zone choices faced for the JDL land. The relevant factors pointing to one of the airport mixed use zone being appropriate to these. There is an established pattern of the use of the flat land adjacent to the state highway. In association with the airport through the borders of one airshow. The land is subject to planning right through the airways out to the coal boundary of provisions that support the airport. The visual amenity enjoyed from the JBAL land is substantially influenced by the airport across the road. Thus, the airport's sphere of influence already extends over the land, and so use of the land in association with the airport offers a degree of reciprocity. Why should the JBIL land be obliged to accept all of the effects of the airport, given time to the other benefits? No fundamental opposition to the use of the land or airport-related activities here to advance the landscape or use of energy grounds requiring that buildings are appropriately located. Michelle's photograph presents landscape here to JBL on that. Perhaps the most sensitive issue in relation to the use of the land is the provision for vehicle connections between the land and the airport. Andy Power will explain the modelling work that will be carried out, satisfying that no fundamental traffic safety reason can be against the zoning of the land for one of the airport's use of purposes. The need to make provision for access other than directly on the state highway, that being a limited access road, is part of the reason why the proposed zone wraps around to the complete frontage beyond Barton Road. It is anticipated that a through road can be established to connect the existing unformed road to the Lake and High Station boundary. However, as Mr. Carroll explained, a single access we're not flying over Mount Barker Road.
Well, that's a short flight.
From Mount Barker Road only is an acceptable traffic solution. Whether or not businesses choose to establish on the JBIL land or the QAC one of the airport land is a trade competition issue and a consideration. JBIL accepts the convertible risk that operators may choose not to establish on their site. You only need to be concerned with the adverse effects of them doing so. QAC does not object to complementary land uses being established on JBIL land. We know that now, and that is a relatively recent development, of course, Mr. Barr can be aware of in his evidence. Section 32.1a requires consideration of the extent to which the objectives of the proposal influence the community's own options are the most appropriate way to achieve the purpose of the Act. It is submitted that the rural zone objectives and policies will not be an appropriate framework to control the future use of the JWA on land. That framework is driven primarily towards maintenance of the land resource for primary production and protection of landscape values. Neither of those issues have been raised as fundamental barriers to the zone to the industry zone. That suggests that rural zoning is not the best fit for this site. It is admitted that the objectives of the Wanaka Airport Mixed View Zone are the most appropriate objectives for this site. Mr. Barr is anxious about undermining the town centre and the potential for sporadic urban development. JWA is not chasing activities like you want a town centre location. Wanaka Airport is already a visitor destination and JWA seeks to support the function. To the extent that those may be outstanding issues, then that's a question of finding a drafting rather than a fundamental objection to the zone.
Page, I pulled up the design box, not where the outdoor control boundary is located. Maybe that should be Mr. Brown. But what size aircraft was the generator by the doors on?
I have no idea.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I understand that is it ATRs, the large ship or something?
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
Because I put an A330 down on that strip.
Not at the moment, no, they can't. Oh, they can probably land it, they can't take off again.
That would be a small technical issue.
It needs a little push. It can take ATRs.
Well, I think we should hear from Mr. Bell. I just write the answer to the presentation.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is simply to ask Jerry and Mandy to describe the conversations that they've had with the senior management team, QAC, in this week, and explain to you the range of activities that QAC has suggested that they would support on the site. If you want to do that,
I'll just introduce it briefly. Hold for a second. Sure.
So Jerry, just remember that people are writing down their answers on that. So if you half pace what you're going to say, you can help them too much.
Here in Queenstown, your airport, what is the purchase of land around Wanaka, things are slightly out of kilter. But nonetheless, the fact remains the same. Our land is across the road from the Waikato Airport, and Waikato is growing. So, in light of that, the chairman of the Queensland Airport Corporation, John Gilt, invited us to meet senior management, and at this point I'll pass over to Mandy, who is engaged in voting to meet the CEO, but I'll pass over to Mandy about how those discussions work.
We've had a number of discussions. They haven't progressed significantly on the 1st of June when we went and we met with from the Hill, the CEO, and Rachel, she's there around their planner. Now, the reason that we haven't been engaging sooner in formal sessions is because of the change in governance. And QAC were not in a committed situation where they had confirmation of what governance for the airport and Honourable was how it's going to pan out. So that has now gone over that confirmation line, so QAC is now government. So we met on the 1st of June with Colin and Rachel. The summary of the discussion was that we were aligned in our approach. Both of us focused on our strategic outlook for the region. We agreed that we could be complementary in future development that might occur at the airport and surrounding areas. And we were also both very much aligned on the need for long-term planning that takes into account the projected numbers of visitors and residential growth that has been set out for the district. The recent numbers are really very substantial as to what we're going to do. So, specifically as neighbours, when we talk about what those complementary look like for future developments, Colin noted the following activities as complementary. Visitor accommodation, worker support services, cafe, storage, tourism, and then quite a museum, precinct, noting that there are people in museums, there's a place around the Waikato Airport. Another one was there are currently a number of tourism businesses within the airport surrounds, immediate surrounds and airside, that they could be looking for transitional support or shifting of those businesses away from airside. So we're keen to engage in that space. We also acknowledge one of the critics of the airport and to work together with neighbours and discuss reverse sensitivity, visual height restrictions, and people in car movement. Rachel, the planner, put a letter down confirming that, which I think we've got to go on a lot. Also, just to note that we had other businesses quietly approaching us, given the change in governance at QAC, and that they're aware that there's going to be longer term planning and increase in air movements. So, their business, for example, airworks might not be sitting right next to the railway, might not be an appropriate place for that to be. And another example is one of the heli businesses that has training, has trouble finding accommodation for people that come and train at the airport. Visitor accommodation is one of their biggest struggles and barriers for the growth of their business. So we've had several discussions with us as to whether there'd be the option to have accommodation to support their business there, which needs to be at the airport. So, probably sum up as really positive from our perspective that we've got a neighbour now that is engaging in long-term planning, is wanting us to talk directly at senior management level with them, and to support each other and the next complementary future development director in space.
When you say work of support, what do you mean by that?
So that, that was actually from Colin Phillips' video, so work of support services, and that's a good question. It could be car parking, the point, an example of what they don't want to fill right close to the airport. And I'm thinking of a little crash, you know. I don't know, but if you're looking at commuter flights coming in 4 years' time, which would be the protection, but they'll be having shuttle flights coming into the airport in 4 to 5 years. That means there's going to be an increased number of people there, and general activities that those people might be wanting. How happened is an obvious one. Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
There was a broad comment about the private aid crash or something like that, right? And accommodation for workers. We've had discussions with the airport about what limitations there are in the general boundary for that. Those days, it's still an accommodation, it seems to be acceptable, but what about short term accommodation for workers? Is that,
So residential is about that, and that's quite different from visitor accommodation.
Yeah, so residential is good.
And if it's just the same as if you're looking at maybe a police unit and you've got the professionals are just giving up, you know, within the vicinity of quite close to the runway.
Mr. Cuddy, you do end up, one of the majors seems to be State Highway 6, any property in place with your own, I don't know if that's what it is. If you had a crash on one side and a carriage on the other.
Crash is probably not a good example.
Exactly to the point, but getting across State Highway 6. And there's obviously evidence that's going to be presented. I don't know who's going to do it, but there's the evidence in terms of traffic. But in terms of, I may have missed it, it's just in safe access.
So even without there's another over in the airport, which is coming, this is coming into the airport today, which is coming out of one space. So there's going to be, recognised for increasing airport existing traffic. Coming out on
the
state highway, but
that stands
at the moment.
Traffic's fine, and I get quite a bit of the service.
We were talking, and look, when we spoke with Colin, the CEO, and we cut it off what was, the service solution was underpass, but there's no formality about our, the payment. So there was a conversation cut it off that there are ways that can get linkages that can remain safe. Safety is a priority by the airport, and there's been any craft activity. So that was made well clear. So that's just the detail that we need to go into, but as soon as there'll be solutions.
So I'll ask Mr. Bowers a question, you will hopefully know. Is there any possibility that the state highway could be shifted to be right under the hill?
95 would be a port ribbon. The centre would have been buried. We would connected with that some time and suggested we'd rather shift the runways than shift the state highway. The Astral report seems to be the latest of the number of reports that's been held up, is that the airport's runway would be shifted further away, which stops that proximity from the runway, because they need that buffer from the end of the runway and the road. So that is basically starting that idea of shipping the runway out of the road. But that brings into play why our land has always been associated with the airport, because the road has been put in there as a report before, and that's probably one of the reasons why we've always written off that bit of land as being part of the airport, because it has been proven in the past, so we've now embraced it as part of the airport.
Can you ask if there are any questions you have arising out of the work of the evidence at this point?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bill, first question, you talked about the cover shop, which is now a crossfire after the brief as the loop. From your vantage point, while it's obviously convenient to have, be able to draw on the people going by, is there any reason why a tourist business like the Wild Hampshire needs to be associated with the interest? What is the association?
It's a passive business. So what we're talking about is a business that really, you've got a noisy airport, Amtrak is a relatively noisy activity. It's not overly noisy, but you can't really set that up in town. So to have it located right at the airport is probably quite logical, in fact. And the other one is, of course, you're shooting into the side of the hill, safety, which is right. So that was the choice of the person who set it up and who supported that. And that's right, so there's another, also there are attractions out there, the Royal Museum, of course, and the Warbirds Museum. So it's now a number of activities. Oxbows across the other side.
Paragraph 9, you use a phrase which I was curious about. Disruptive technologies. I wonder if you explain.
So I back up with engineering and I work at private national levels and advisory and governance of the industry. And we've got a huge pace of change happening at the moment. And disruptive technologies are leading the charge. And sadly, that's milk without cows, that's beef without using alternative proteins or stem cell cultures. The price of them has decreased significantly in the next 8 months. They will be offered routinely throughout the states in a number of large corporate businesses where it's set. With the associated upsides environmentally, it's making really low carbon emissions, etc. And that's over the next 3 to 5 years, this is a real challenge for agriculture in New Zealand.
Basically, new technology
competing with
traditional agriculture.
Proteins, yeah. With proteins, so it's new forms of protein, proteins being developed. And run with very strongly.
And if you compare per thing that's been. What you will see is that the descriptions of the maximum height limits for each of the areas A1, 2 and 3 are inconsistent. So I want Michelle to address you on which one of those is correct. And that will allow us to run the correct rules.
Yes, I see the point. Which way around is it?
A1 should be 10 metres.
Say that again, say
it louder. A1 should be 10 metres.
This
should be A3 structure
plate. A1 is 10 metres. A2 is 12 metres high and A3 is 7 metres. Okay. So we'll get to Mr. Browse and see if we can figure out the parallel table.
Yes. Okay. So, with that change made, and I expect to go up in front of you, Michelle's summary of your evidence, that I have to address that.
My name is Michelle Case and I've filed a statement of evidence for the applicant dated 4th of April 2017. The following is a summary of the proposed rezoning from Rural Regional to Warren Airport next Tuesday and is my response to Ms. Nelson for my rezoning today, 5th of May 2017. Overall, the landscape looks just like the school park, it's rural with wide open views across the plains to the mountain ranges to the north, east and south east and is confined by steep topography on the south and west. With the exception of the Warnock Airport and Rural Visitor Zone, which is a small node of visitor activity centred on the airport located within and dominated by large-scale rural and natural landscapes. The site is well tucked into the toe of the escarpment and visually dominated by the airport development and the escarpment landform, which partially encloses the site and is at a larger scale. The rural character of the immediate area is already significantly influenced by the airport development and the Heather Shopton Park. This presents an opportunity to locate additional developments in a well-confined area that is already characterised by non-pastoral buildings. The landscape effects of the proposed Warnock Airport mixed-use zone will be substantial and that will form a significant and immediately apparent part of the scene that changes the site's character. However, I am of the opinion that the change in character will be to the site only. It will not affect the landscape character beyond the node of tourist activities centered on the airport, nor will it change the pastoral and rural character of the surrounding landscape outside of that node. The proposed zone will not become the dominant feature of the surrounding landscape, nor will the elements of escarpment to the rural character become subordinate to the new zone. Rather, it will fit into and consolidate an existing node of development and be contained by the escarpment land reform. The degree of difficulty of the proposed zone change will be no greater than that of the existing site in terms of the locations that it is visible from. At all viewing locations, the buildings of the proposed zone would be viewed with and as part of the node of development at the intersection of State Highway 6 and Mount Barker Road. The visual effects of the proposed zone would be moderate from State Highway 6 and Mount Barker Road, and that the zone would form a visible and recognisable new element within the overall scene and may be readily noticed by the observer or sector. It will change the character of the site, but not the overall character of the wider landscape. Slight to moderate from Stevenson Road, and that the new zone will constitute a minor component of the wider views, and awareness of the new zone will not have a marked effect on the overall quality of the scene. Negligible from Kane Road, and that only a very small part of the proposals is discernible, and or is at such a distance that it is really appreciated. Consequently, it will have very little effect on the scene, and nil from Valentine Road. Visually, the State Highway 6 part of the site is within the same viewing corridor as that of Warnock Airport and is enclosed by the airport on one side and the escarpment on the other side. The site and the airport are experienced as foreground on both sides of the road with the same ground plane. Development on the site will not appear visually incongruous with the airport development. I disagree with Ms. Malsop's opinion that the proposed zoning would degrade the landscape character and visual amenity values of the rural landscape. A2, which is proposed to have a maximum height, building height of 12 metres, is approximately the same interior as A3. It is not the dominant maximum height in terms of area. I disagree that large-scale buildings within this activity area would obscure the escarpment. Buildings within the proposed zone will screen approximately the lower third of the escarpment, the middle and upper third of the escarpment, and part of the landform that has the most natural character will be visible and not obscured. Large-scale buildings within the proposed zone will be of a similar character to those of the one at Airport, and they are, with exception of Airport, determined by the same height restrictions and site coverage. I agree that the proposed development would extend beautification beyond that enabled on the northern side of State Highway 6 under the airport designation. The eastern zone boundary does not extend as far as that of the airport designation. The setback specified in the designation would mean that the potential building area within the one of the airport designation would stop approximately halfway along area A3 on the proposed zone. The built area within the proposed zone would extend approximately a further 100 metres east. This is a small increase beyond the current limit of development. I disagree the zone would adversely affect the open pastoral character. The landscape on the southern side of the road is not entirely open due to the escarpment. The effect on openness is limited already by topography. Development will not significantly impede character. I disagree that buildings on the eastern side of Mount Barker Road would be viewed without the context of visible airport buildings. When travelling along Mount Barker Road towards State Highway 6, airport buildings are visible from the entry to Cripple Station. From this point, the buildings of the proposed zone will be viewed with the context of airport buildings. From Stevenson Road and at the intersection of State Highway 6, buildings within the Toy Museum site are visible between the building trees. Future buildings within the proposed zone will be visible on Mount Barker Road from approximately the last 190 metres of Stevenson Road before the intersection of State Highway 6. Trees within the amenity plant and strip will soften those views. I disagree that visible buildings would significantly detract from natural pastoral views. The visible buildings would be in the mid-ground of the escarpment and views from State Highway 6. The foreground views would still be pastoral, and views of the mid-third and upper third of the escarpment would be retained as were views from surrounding mountains beyond. Buildings within the proposed zone would form a low linear part of the view. They would not dominate the view, but they would be a minor component of that view. I disagree that built developments at the eastern end of the proposed development, proposed zone area 3, would detract significantly from the openness pastoral character of the State Highway 6. Views to the south of the pastoral character when travelling past the site on State Highway 6 are limited to the site on the escarpment. The escarpment itself will increase considerably. The greater openness pastoral character and pleasantness of the views is to the north across the airport land and the mountains beyond. Buildings within the proposed zone will not obscure those open views to the north. They will partially obscure views of the lower part of the escarpment face and will obscure views of pastoral land beyond Mount Barker Road frontage of the site from travelling west. This is for a small distance and currently these views are partially obscured by the existing head shop building. I agree that the proposed zone will result in buildings 5 metres from the State Highway 6 boundary. The distance of those buildings from the edge of the carriageway would be between 23 metres and 46 metres. As the carriageway does not sit in the middle of the legal road corridor, and the existing gear fence from the State Highway 6 boundary of the site is also within the legal road corridor. The buildings within the proposed zone would be set back further from the viewer and the vehicle than the existing airport buildings, and the viewing corridor would be more open than we can also possibly perceive it to be. I disagree that effects on visual amenity and users' experience from State Highway 6 would potentially be greater than that of built environment, built development on the northern side of the one of the airport runway. The landscape of the northern side of the runway is characterised by its expansiveness and does not offer any enclosing topography or vegetation which could absorb buildings. The potential prominence of buildings on the northern side of the runway would significantly detract from the pastoral character of the wider landscape. The site of the proposed zone does have partially enclosing topography, and in the case of the State Highway 6 portion of the site is also partially enclosed by the airport development, which limits views across pastoral landscapes.
Thank you, Mr. Smallgrass. Just for clarification from my point of view, 10 metres is approximately the height of the existing buildings on the airport precinct.
Yes, that's my understanding.
How many stories is 10 metres?
No, I think it's 3. It's about 3.
And so the property is presumably designed as to be a four-story building. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Part of the preparation was here and I read the decisions in the Stoffenberg litigation. Mm-hmm. So the question for you is, to what extent is this proposed zone, if it will be utilised to the maximum extent permitted in the proposed zone, to what extent is it going to raise the same issues that the majority of the environment board found to be decisive and objective that proposal?
So I'm not entirely familiar with that particular environment court decision you're talking about.
Well, we've got that too. It's on the opposite corner.
Yes.
Over the road from Mount Barker. And as I read from that page, you know, there was chapter and verse, as I read the majority had a concern about the news coming down the slope of State Highway towards the Black people beyond that mountain behind the water.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately that proved to be decisive. So, given that steer from the floor,
mm-hmm.
I agree with what you said,
mm-hmm.
but the message from the court gives me a heightened level of anxiety about that particular issue, and I'm inviting a colleague on it. So, as the views coming towards Warwick along the State Highway, towards the mountains, with the backdrop of Warwick.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would. The buildings would obscure the mountains, the views of the mountains, for the length of the frontage of the site. Of course, when you got to Mount Barker Road, it would open up again. There is some screening already provided by the trees, the conifer trees on that corner, in the corner of State Highway 6 and Mount Barker Road, and of course by the existing Havershop building. If that site was used to the maximum, all the buildings were built to their maximum height, it would obscure almost to the top of the mountain, there's still the very tops above those buildings. If those trees stayed, then yes, for that block, those views would be pretty screen. If those trees were removed, you'd possibly get slightly better views of the mountains. And I think it's for a short distance, just for that road frontage. And it's still, when you get to that corner, you still have that very wide open view. And across the pastoral landscapes in the foreground and midground as well.
Can you tell me where the trees are currently located? Might be on the same level because there wasn't.
So if you look on Appendix A,
yeah.
You can see on State Highway 6, they come out of these frontage trees up to the intersection of Mount Barker Road. And there are a few trees on site within the road reserve, just outside the Havershop building on Mount Barker Road.
So what you're referring to are principally the ones next to on site within the Havershop?
Well, I suppose it's these ones.
So it's both.
Yeah, and the ones on this corner in particular.
So your point is the trees are already screened in the
area? Yes, they do. They quite considerably screened it. Yeah, there will be, of course, the buildings will increase because they will screen between the view corridor between the garden and those trees. That view there, though, that section is already further reduced by the trees to the south by the Heathershop building and the Heathershop building itself.
And just so that I'll make this clear, when you see the maximum height allowance in the zoning provision is being utilised, it would obscure the wall as the top of the mountain. That was the buildings around the trees.
Yes, the buildings, yes.
Right.
That's my estimate anyway.
And last, I think I know what you mean, the permit. Paragraph 66, the visual effect will be moderate. I take it that's moderately adverse. Not moderately positive.
That's moderate, the right term. I did mention moderate. I did make a note. I said it would form a visible and recognisable element within the overall scene, would be readily noticed. You say the change is small scale, located at existing out of tourist development and contained by the scarpment. So it's almost this moderately adverse for the trees.
Looking at the function of an airport, do you see that there could be an advantage in building associated with the airport being common, either within the airport site itself or in a wider sense?
And there's an advantage
in building common, is in, so that there is a limit, or to say politically?
Yeah, well, that would be, yeah, because you quite clearly, obviously, you can tell when you go past one of the airports. The fact that those buildings are of a certain shape and a certain size, that they're all quite similar, sort of within, well, of course, they have a runway and some planes also help, but it is obviously an airport rather than an industrial storage area or something that's out in the middle of nowhere with no connection to the function of the site. So you could bigger buildings to help.
With a harder on the stairs, do you know?
It was sort of, yeah. Yeah, the power points and disparity is still out of the way. But yeah, it sort of does help to give people an indication that the site and you, the association, do work what goes on at the airport and what people do at the airport when they come out of the airport.
Well, looking to the future with likely growth in and around the airport, you said that effects on landscape
Consolidate that node as tightly as possible rather than spread out across that large terrace towards the Clutha River and to keep spreading further down State Highway 6. I think that sort of it needs to be, from an landscape point of view, quite consolidated and tightly confined as possible.
Well, in your opinion, is there more of a planning argument than a landscape argument, but I'd be interested in your opinion about whether there is any mitigation of effects by, you talk about consolidation of the node, by taking the node within the existing developed part of that location if you're not having development of those sites.
Well, no, because the potential, I guess, there's always the potential that the airport could keep spreading across that terrace. which I think has quite a negative effect, especially anything on the northern side of the runway, because you've got that very strong horizontal edge of the terrace, and then of course all those much wider, longer mountain views. And by putting more and more buildings into that landscape, it is spreading that effect further across, and you are sort of interrupting those views, which show quite clearly all that. With the geological formation, like the very flat plain, the mountains, those relatively horizontal lines. So, given that it's quite a small site, so it's quite confined by escarpment, placing developments on the JBI outer lands would help facilitate achieve that consolidation without necessity to go further out onto those far more open, expansive parts of the landscape.
In your evidence retreat, you described one vehicle as an informal gateway to one gate. Is that a bit of a long road to draw, just to keep advising the gateway out? And you don't see the luggage as an informal gateway to one gate.
I think it's possibly because of the function of the airport. That you come to an airport, you think, oh, yeah, I must be coming to a larger town, possibly than Wanaka, that would need an airport of some size. And also because it also comes up onto that terrace, which the terrace runs down, it runs to Kaidrona, across the Kaidrona, out to Wanaka, you can see Mount Iron from State Highway 6 from the site. So it's all part of that same like landform.
Yeah, we've been discussing that landfall quite a bit, where the lines should sit.
Yeah.
Just with regard, one question I've got with, you mentioned as well that any extension of the airport won't actually change the rural character of the surrounding landscape, but in your evidence in chief, you then go on to say that can be, the extension can be absorbed because of the existing. Because of the airport, it's quite a bit familiar. So isn't that a self-fulfilling prophecy? And that's the fear the council's got, is that that will just sprawl.
Oh, keep going.
Yeah.
Well, I think because the fact we've got the escarpment and that road, and it tucks in tight against the escarpment, I don't know if I would feel comfortable with possibly more airport development extending. Well, say from the corner of Mount Barker Road and say Highway 6, I mean, possibly could absorb something in that very small corner, but to keep on going out across that terrace, that sort of doesn't have any sort of natural, I guess, boundary.
So, what you're saying is that I'm not going to be sitting here 10 years' time with another boundary partner and say, look, it's happened there, so can we just keep going? And you end up connecting one to the airport.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I mean, everyone knows the earth is growing on top of you. But one concern I have, and you touched on it in paragraph 16 of the evidence you've given us, is the proximity of 10 metre buildings, or 12 metre buildings, to State Highway 6. So it's proposed to be from the boundary of the line, a 5 metre boundary. Which is in Plantar. And newer evidence is that. Is there any way that that could be softened on that edge that would enhance the views if you're driving along?
Sorry,
on
the 12 metre height portion is on Mount Barker Road, so, and there's a 10 metre setback, building setback on that road frontage. Sorry if I confused you.
There's a 5 metre building setback on State Highway 6.
Yes.
And in Zone A1, 10 metre height restriction, is that right?
Yes.
So 5 metres from the boundary, you can have a 10 metre height.
Yes.
So my question is, if there was some way of reducing the impact exactly on the edge of that State Highway 6, would that enhance, for example, with the staff and regulation, would that be a benefit?
Well, the possibility would be whether if they place things like the road or car parking on that site, because you of course get a setback further. It also could come down to how the building is designed. If you had a building, this is an articulated space which stepped back or had quite a lot of changes, so you don't end up with one 10-meter high face, that would also reduce possibly the impact of those buildings on the that viewing corridor.
Because I know that in urban context there's quite a lot made of zoning height that's been set back.
Yes.
And that would, so if you're driving along there, it's rather than a, because again, it's a comparison of the airport buildings.
Yeah, because the airport buildings, because of the way the road split, where the, I don't know if you remember, on the head shop, there's got, there's the deer fence.
Yep.
There's two fences. There's one on the road with the netting on, and there's another one. But that is actually where the boundary is. So what I'm saying is that you have got some advantage that because of where the carriageway sits in the road corridor, the buildings will actually be physically further away from the edge of the carriageway than the airport buildings are.
And I get that point.
Yeah, sorry.
And what I was trying to say was potentially if you look at the location of the buildings, go back again and you volunteer car parking. Essentially that
might assist. Yes, that would assist because you'd also have yeah, that further distance, you have the American planting strip, which would also help soften it. But yes, that would, pushing them further back would help.
Thank you.
Okay. One question for you, Bill. Where is the GA and owning some sort of defense on there, then?
Is the GA and looking great for them. We keep it tight. But there is, I think, just coming back to that, you quite clearly see there's a road reserve there that cuts down through. And so what we talk about this is that fence line against the boundary is actually puts the gate there and then cuts in. So this direction starts opening up as you come towards Mount Barker Road.
But I'm probably aware of a whole new concept of the long town.
Huh?
A whole new concept of the long town.
The long town, that's right. That's what's always been called.
Before we move off from the landscape evidence, I want to pick up on some of the questions that were raised on Michelle. The process that we went through to identify a 10-metre height limit for Area 1 was effectively to use an on-site scale and gain views from the state highway as we're heading west, because we were conscious of position. And what you can see when you go to site is that there is a line of power lines which run along the back of Lakotoa Terrace. And the top of those power poles are more or less at the 10-metre mark that we've identified for the building controls. And we were confident when we adopted that 10-metre controls that from viewers from the state highway, the buildings that comply with that 10 metres and the setbacks wouldn't be blocking the distant mountain views. That was actually the purpose of the exercise. Now, if we are wrong about that, then those controls will need some refinement of the kind that Commissioner McLeod was just talking about. But we used the tops of those power poles to assess what 10 metres would look like within the developable areas of the site with the setback.
I suppose maybe it was not for us to clarify, but that's why I asked the question again. I interpreted what she told me and say that they would block the views to the mountains.
Not the very top.
The other aspect of the Stalkenberg decision, which is different to what we have, is that, and Mandy is probably better than me to talk about this, but when you're coming from the nugget end along the state highway, the way that the property splays and steps back from the Mount Park corner is quite different to how the Stalkenberg project was arranged at the apex of that intersection. Mandy, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so when we went through the process of putting the poles up, putting the poles in different spots and then going back towards and looking at them, it was quite clear that one, that they were level with those power poles, but as you're driving from the south, you come up the Lugget Hill, you come along here, you've got the terrace on the left, And when you look straight out in front, it's actually you're looking over the top of the Pepper Shop buildings and across the Staffenberg, that corner piece. So that actually, that piece, as you're coming up the road, you look out over the Staffenberg land, or you look to this way, that's where the mountain view is, right?
So the young man.
So the young man.
Staffenberg's with your pellets, the young
man. The young man. So as you're coming up the road, and if you take Mount Martha Road and then you take the same amount the other way, that's where your view is. Whereas if you're looking to the left, you've actually got the terrace, which the buildings tuck in against. So they're not sitting out in open land with mountain views in front of you. Is that right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, the other reason I know about Staffenberg is I'm talking to a former colleague in this quarter who was very active about the whole thing.
I think the other main one with that thing was also the noise. That was probably the biggest one for the neighbours. Yeah.
I think the person most surprised was those chips.
They'll have you right as well. Do you read it for us, Brad?
No, we're going to go to Courses Cardiff.
Ah, yes, okay.
I don't think that there was anything quite so clever as that, but we listed in paragraph books.
Well, that's chaos. I'd like to see.
Certainly, so I'll kick in at paragraph 4 if I may.
Certainly.
So, in my Anderson sheep, I described the Roman geometry, the existing geometry of the roadway network, noting that the flat and straight alignment of State Highway 6 meant that excellent sight distances were provided for all drivers turning to and from Mount Barker Road at the airport access. Traffic flows in the vicinity of the submitted site are presently low, with the highway carrying 340 to 420 vehicles two-way in the morning and evening peak hours respectively, and Mount Barker Road carrying around 30 vehicles two-way in the peak hours. The road safety record in the immediate area shows just 4 crashes over the past 5 years, all of which occurred in different places and with different contributing factors. Accordingly, I concluded that the roading network in the immediate vicinity of the proposed zone presently operates with good levels of service in respect of safety and efficiency. To evaluate the effects of the rezoning sought, I've derived the expected traffic generation based upon the size and types of activity that could occur under the proposed provisions. This scenario was provided to me by Mr. Graham. Ms. Banks notes that in her view a greater amount of development could take place on the right and implies that as a result my calculation of traffic generation results in a volume that's too low. I understand that Mr. Brown will discuss this further, but that the scenario that I've modelled is robust. Further, I've used higher traffic generation activities in my calculations, meaning that the resultant total volumes will be at the upper end of the range expected. In this regard, the Spanx has not raised any concerns or queries regarding the traffic generation rates that I've used for each activity. Notwithstanding this, I discussed the extent of committed development subsequently in this summary statement. And with respect to paragraph 10, could you delete that in its entirety, please?
Just from my own curiosity, you deleted that because it doesn't match what's proposed.
Correct. So there was a lot of discussion about the traffic generation and the best way to accommodate the concerns of Ms. Banks. And one option that was floated was the removal of the visitor accommodation.
I wrote the first draft of the evidence on that basis. Subsequently, the visitor accommodation wasn't removed from the provisions, but I simply inadvertently forgot to change that paragraph. I changed it in the rest of the evidence, just not that paragraph.
Thank you.
So I've added the traffic expected to be generated by the proposal to the prevailing flows and modelled the results on efficiency of both the Mount Barker Road and Airport Way intersections with Spec Highway 6. This showed that at the Airport Way intersection, the greatest delay was in the order of just 20 seconds on any movement in the peak hours. The delays were greater at the Mount Barker Road intersection at 44 seconds in the morning peak hour for right-turning vehicles emerging from Mount Barker Road. However, this delay only occurred on this movement and in the morning peak hour. All other movements in the morning peak hour, but all movements in the evening peak hour, had delays that were considerably lower than this. 44 seconds represents the level of service E, which is higher than I would anticipate on a spec highway. For my evidence in chief, I set out that if just 20 vehicles less in the morning peak hour turned right out of Mount Barker Road, then the delays would reduce, such that level of service D would arise, which in my experience is appropriate for an intersection on a state highway. I noted that in practice, lower flows were likely to arise because of my traffic generation calculations being biased towards higher trip generating activities. Ms. Banks expresses concern that the extent of vehicles turning right out of the site is rather high, and that the expected queue is 10 vehicles. However, I don't share her concerns, because both the volume and the queue would reduce with only a small reduction in the right turn movements, as I consider is likely to arise. Moreover, it's not the queue length, but the delay for drivers that is more critical. In passing, that's why the concept of level of service is based upon delay, not on queue length. However, in view of Ms. Banks' comments, it's proposed to give greater certainty to the traffic-related effects by limiting the amount of development that can take place within the site as a permitted activity. To determine this threshold, in the first instance, I've reduced the traffic flows generated by the site by 4% and remodelled the State Highway 6 Mount Barker Road intersection. This shows the following outcomes in the morning peak hour, and I focus on the morning peak hour because that's the period when the forecast delays are greatest. They're summarised in Table 1, but you can see that the delays for vehicles turning right out of Mount Barker Road reduced by 10 seconds under this scenario compared to my earlier analyses. And level of service D is provided, which I consider is acceptable for such an intersection in the peak hours. Such a reduction means that the site would generate 880 vehicle movements two-way in the peak hour, rather than 920 vehicle movements two-way, as I set out in my evidence in chief. If it's assumed that all of these vehicles are associated with general commercial services, then this would equate to the traffic generation from 44,150 square metres of GFA. Conversely, if these vehicles are all associated with warehousing, storage, or general industrial uses, this would equate to the traffic generation from 88,300 square metres of GFA. In practice, the mix of activities within the site is likely to lie between the two values. In my experience, there are a number of ways in which the traffic generation of the site can be limited to no more than 880 vehicle movements, such as through monitoring the traffic flows, limiting the development of the overall site, and limiting the development of each individual lot. Mr. Brown will discuss the particular method proposed in this instance. In general, however, in my view, Ms. Banks' concerns regarding the delays at the State Highway 6 Mount Barker Road intersection would be fully addressed if the amount of permitted development was limited to the threshold of 880 vehicle movements two-way in the peak hours. The volumes of turning traffic mean that auxiliary lanes are required for vehicles turning left into both Mount Barker Road and Airport Way, and right into Mount Barker Road. For clarity, these lanes are required even if the traffic generation was to be a little lower than I calculated. The Spanx does not appear to disagree with this. With regard to safety, I acknowledge that there will be increased volumes of turning traffic, but in my view, the auxiliary lanes will have a positive effect. And in fact, one historic crash arguably would not have occurred if the right-turn lane was already in place at the Mount Barker Road intersection. The auxiliary lanes also mean that a driver turning right from Mount Barker Road can almost immediately move into the left-turn auxiliary lane for Airport Way,
and out of the through traffic lane, and vice versa for airports emerging vehicles emerging from airport way. The 40 metre width of the road reserved for the highway means that there's ample area available to construct the ancillary lanes. In view of this, I consider that subject to detailed design, the overarching layout and positions of the two access intersections at Mount Barker Road and the Airport Way mean that they will function safely. Ms. Banks sets out that she remains concerned about road safety, particularly for the right turn movement out of Mount Barker Road, and suggests that safety threats have not been addressed. In my view, though, safety matters were well traversed by evidence in chief. I consider that significant adverse effects are unlikely to arise because, firstly, there's no evidence of any existing road safety deficiencies on the road network that could be exacerbated by the higher volumes. Sight distances at the intersections meet and, in fact, considerably exceed requirements. The presence of auxiliary lanes will provide safety benefits to traffic turning off the highway, and delays for drivers are not excessive to the extent that drivers will feel pressured to emerge from the minor approaches and into an unsuitable gap in the traffic stream on the highway. For these reasons, I do not share Ms. Banks' views regarding the road safety effects of the proposal. There's, in respect of the potential for an eastern site access, there's an unformed legal road at the eastern boundary of the site, and in due course I consider that this could be developed further to provide a second access for the site. The access isn't required to be in place for the site to be served with an appropriate level of service, but rather it could create efficiencies by reducing travel distances for tenants. In view of the size of the zone, I don't foresee that there will be any difficulties in meeting the transportation related requirements of the district plan in full, although improvement measures will be required to Mount Barker Road, but they can all take place within the road reserve. I understand that Queenstown Airport Corporation has submitted in support of the proposed zoning, and in respect of transportation matters, this support is conditional on, quote, the safe pedestrian and vehicular connection between the airport and the site, unquote. I've set out above that I consider the access arrangements will operate safely for vehicles, subject to the appropriate provision of auxiliary turning lanes. In respect of pedestrian movements, there is the potential that the rezoning will lead to a greater number of people walking between the airport and the site. There are no equations by which the number of these movements can be forecast, but I anticipate that it will depend upon the nature of the activities that are established. It's quite possible that in practice there will be very few pedestrian crossing movements. There are a number of ways in which pedestrian movements can be assisted, but to an extent this depends upon the configuration of the traffic lanes on the highway and whether NZTA considers that it would be beneficial to reduce the speed limit. Under a reduced speed limit, a flush median would provide a suitable way of crossing the road, as it enables pedestrians to cross one traffic stream and then the other. However, assuming that the speed limit remains at 100 km an hour, then grade separation is the only viable option. Under this scenario, I consider that an underpass would be the most likely arrangement. The width of the legal road reserved in this location, 40 metres, means that there's sufficient space for this to be provided without utilising any third-party land. So in conclusion, having reviewed Ms. Banks' rebuttal evidence, I remain of the overall view expressed in my evidence in chief and continue to support the submission of Jeremy Bell Investments Limited for the rezoning land adjacent to State Highway 6 for airport-related activities.
We're totally one thing you want to know. One broader question from me. In your summary, paragraph 13, the first line, service E, which is higher than you anticipated, you mean lower?
Yeah, this is the problem with level of service, which is higher.
Is A good?
A is the best, F is the worst. I have written the word worse than I would anticipate, so lawyers tend to go a little bit bonkers when they see the word worse. So level of service E would not be acceptable. It is worse than would normally be anticipated for a state highway. For any intersection within the peak hours, you'd normally look at level of service A, B, C or D. E and F are not what you plan for under this kind of circumstance.
Okay, so we'll take the point of journey, we'll be back, we'll take 10 minutes and we'll be back to ask. Thank you.